Well, church, it was so difficult to prepare this message this week. It was hard. Right as I sat down to reflect on the beautiful scripture passage that Dave just read for us this morning, my heart and my spirit were overwhelmed. I was overwhelmed with grief, overwhelmed with helplessness, overwhelmed with anger, just overwhelmed. This month has truly been a painful one on a national level. And our country and many communities are mourning the losses of people who've been taken from us due to gun violence. We've heard and we've read about unjust laws and policies that have created ongoing tensions and mistrust between police and communities of color. And then some of us have watched the political convention coverage of this past week and last week. I should never have turned on my television these past 2 weeks. For both parties, and our hearts are heavy with the realities of it all. And everywhere we turn, there's anger and greed and malice and death all around. But what would happen if we all stripped off our anger and our malice? What would happen if we clothed ourselves with compassion and kindness and meekness and patience towards one another and our neighbor? Well, we've reached a point in our house where bathing has become optional. And I am not going to tell you who does not want to bathe. You can guess that on your own. The biggest complaint is that it takes too long. And you know what, church? My kids are right. It does take too long. I learned how true their complaint was this past Monday when I came home from work. And if you'll remember, the heat index on Monday was like 112. And the air condition had gone out in the car, so I rolled down the windows. And by the time I got home, I was super hot and super tired. And I had threatened that I would get in the pool with all my clothes on, which I did. And my kids looked at me, they're like, are you kidding? And I'm like, no, dude, I'm in the pool with all my clothes on. Y'all, my feet hurt, my back hurt, my eyes hurt, and I just wanted to lay down and go to sleep or jump in the pool with all my clothes on. But I knew I'd feel better after I took a shower. And then I got to thinking, have any of you ever thought about how much energy we use taking a bath or a shower and getting dressed? First, we have to set our minds to it. And then we have to die to wanting to do other things in that moment. And then we have to strip off our clothes for the day because we can't put on new clothes over dirty ones. If this is your practice, you need to see me directly after the service. And then we clothe ourselves with new clean clothes. And we have to repeat this process every day if we want to remain clean. Well, church, so it is with new life in Christ. Christ is not an add-on. Christ is not some accessory. New life in Christ calls us to set our minds on the things of Christ, to die to whatever in us is earthly, to strip off our old selves and to clothe ourselves with Christ and repeat, repeat, repeat. This world has always been full of trouble, and it seems like our world, and specifically our country right now, is especially divisive and troublesome. We have so much rich diversity in this country, diversity of culture and of race, of color, of national origin, of religion, and yes, of opinion. And it's truly beautiful and inspiring to see when it's engaged well. But these differences at times have not been engaged well. I was watching a video of a woman who identifies as a Christian, and she was being interviewed by a comedic reporter. And he asked her, doesn't the Bible say love your neighbor? And she replied, not if the person living next to you is going to sneak over to your house and murder you in the middle of the night. And the reporter asked, who's going to do that? And she paused. She looks at him, and she says, Muslims. As I watched this exchange, I couldn't help but think of our scripture lesson for today. Paul spoke to the Christian community at Colossae, and they were an extremely diverse community in religion and ethnicity and culture. The Colossian community, though, was mixing different philosophies and beliefs and influences with the way of Christ. And one of those philosophies was called Gnosticism. Now, Gnosticism held a bunch of things, but two things that it held was that one could achieve oneness with God through charitable giving and helping other people. The other thing that Gnosticism held was that the earthly world did not exist and only spiritual things mattered. And so the Apostle Paul challenged the believers in the Colossian community who held and practiced Gnosticism, along with practicing the way of Christ, to put on Christ every day. And he didn't talk about it in a passive way. Right? There are so many verbs in today's scripture. Set, die, strip, clothe. That's a whole lot of action. Paul's words still ring true to us today as followers of the way of Christ, to also strip off ideologies and ways of being that don't reflect the love of God and neighbor, and to clothe ourselves with humility and compassion and love. We have plenty of ideologies in our world today, both currently and historically, which are based on race and class and gender, that say one class and culture is superior to another, or one gender is superior to another. And these ideologies plague the hearts and the minds and the spirits of humanity, and they create violence and hatred and the killings of entire peoples. And we've seen these ideologies play out in the massive amounts of gun violence that have happened both in this country and around the world in this month alone. And then we hear long-held American ideologies espoused in the current election cycle, such as the ideology of the American dream. And we all know those words, right? We all have the opportunity for prosperity and success, and we can all achieve it if we just work hard enough. The problem with this ideology is that it doesn't call us as God's beloved community to base our trust in Jesus and what Jesus has done for us. And at a certain point, this ideology would make us sell our souls or harm our neighbor in order to achieve that prosperity and success and the things of this world. At a certain point, this ideology will also demand that we worship at the altar of security and comfort rather than at the feet of Jesus. Michael Sean Winters wrote an article in the National Catholic Reporter last August, and it was titled Faith Versus Ideology. And Winters paints a very stark picture of what putting our faith in Christ requires. And it requires us clinging to Christ and not basing our values on the things of this world or on its comforts. And Winters says this: we cannot reduce the gospel of Jesus Christ to a program of social justice. Jesus did not bring a world free from war or poverty. He brought God. The grace encounter with the poor teaches us this time and time again. For them, God is all they have. They are comforted by their reliance on God, not disturbed by it, the way upper-class Catholics can be. The poor do not make apologies for the faith. They cling to the cross. They live the cross. I am not idealizing the poor. We need them far more than they need us because they disclose to the rest of us, the comfortable and well-fed, that we need what Jesus brought, God, more than creature comforts. Friends, stripping away the old self to live in the Spirit calls us to be uncomfortable. It is human nature for us to want to hold on to what we personally believe and the ways of being that are comfortable to us. It's human nature to want to remain comfortable as we put on new life in Christ. But here is the good news this morning. We don't put on new life in Christ alone. Paul's words were to an entire community from different cultural and religious and economic backgrounds. And Paul proclaimed that they didn't have to set their minds on things above alone. They didn't have to die to whatever was in them that was earthly alone. They didn't have to strip off their old selves alone. They didn't have to clothe themselves with Christ alone. And they did not have to repeat this process alone. And friends, neither do we. It's painful and it's hard to strip away the values and the things in us that don't reflect Christ. And we need God's constant grace and encouragement and support from one another. And as the Severna Park Faith Community, we set, we die, we strip, we clothe, and we repeat this process together within the beloved community that Christ has given us. None of this is a competition to see who can be a super Christian. If it were, I would fail miserably. None of this is a competition to see who can be perfect at living in the Spirit of God. And none of this is a competition to see who can do the most good works to grow closer to God. This is, was, and always will be a grace thing. And the beautiful part is that we live new life in Christ together, clinging to our faith, claiming that Christ is all that we need, and not upholding any one race or culture or class or gender. Because in that renewal, in the Spirit-filled life, there's no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, Barbarian, Scythian, slave and free. Christ is all and in all. These words don't mean that God doesn't care about persons from different cultures and ethnicities and economic backgrounds and genders, for we are all God's creation. But what it does mean is that if we claim new life in Christ in all of the wonderful ways that God has made us, then we actively put on compassion and kindness and humility and meekness and patience. If we claim new life in Christ, then we actively reject the spiritual forces of wickedness and evil that keep us from seeing the risen Christ at work in the world and in one another. If we claim new life in Christ, then we actively move into the world together, sharing the gospel in both word and action. If we claim new life in Christ, then we actively strip off all the old ways in which we perpetuate unjust systems and practices of this world. And if we claim new life in Christ, then we actively strip off all of the ways that we mistreat our neighbor and the stranger and the least of these in our world. This past week, I had the wonderful privilege and honor of attending an end-of-year party for volunteers, leading a program called Discipleship Year. And Discipleship Year is a year-long residential program in which people live together in community, and they work at nonprofit organizations committed to justice and ministry work. And then during that time, they participate together in a process of spiritual formation that involves classes and retreat times. And Discipleship Year is part of a larger ministry in Columbia Heights, D.C., called the Festival Center. And the Festival Center's sole mission is empowering and equipping people to live authentically in the Spirit of God and be Christ in the world. And so I was invited to this party by the program director of Discipleship Year because one of my coworkers, that I now work with, she had joined us halfway through her volunteer year at Lutheran Volunteer Corps. And so I was asked to come and share some affirming words about her at the party. And so as I sat in the chair in the volunteer house, I was waiting for people to come in. And as folks came in, I got up and greeted them and introduced myself, and we talked some. And there are people from different races and cultures and backgrounds and faith communities. And each person I spoke with shared how they'd been touched by God through the Discipleship Year community and by the volunteers who served this year. The best part, though, was when I got a chance to listen to the volunteer mentors and other placement supervisors share words of affirmation about the volunteers who'd serve this year. One mentor shared about the struggles of one of the volunteers with living in community at the beginning of the year, and how he had watched her grow as she navigated that difficult time. And then another mentor shared about a volunteer's pastor heart and how she grounded and centered everyone around her, including him. And then I shared about our volunteer, my now co-worker, Drea, and how sharp and eager and inquisitive she is. And she's always ready to take on new tasks and use her gifts and graces wherever they're needed. All of our relationships with these volunteers, as either their mentors or their supervisors, helped us grow in Christ this year. In these relationships, these mutual relationships, each person, both volunteer and mentor, committed to set their minds on things above. Do we have the... To set their minds on things above, to die to whatever in them was earthly, so that they can grow a new life in Christ, to strip off the old self, to clothe themselves with the new self, and to repeat the process again and again. And then once, as we repeat that process, and as they repeated that process, we can't help but shine for Jesus everywhere that we go. We can't help but give God glory in all that we say and do. When we repeat this process, we can't help but move out in faith into the spaces and the places where Jesus needs our hands and our feet and our hearts. I initially did not want to go to this party because this was the last week of volunteers leaving our program at Lutheran Volunteer Corps. So there was a lot of wrapping up to do. And I thought to myself, I really don't want to go, but if they have food, I'll show up. And I get there, and as the Spirit will do, a completely unexpected God moment happened for me personally. A woman came to the party whose face I recognized, and I thought to myself, I know her. And so I got up and introduced myself, and I asked if she remembered me and my husband. And she said, yes, I do. She said, how are you? And then she said, how's Giselle? I said, well, Giselle is almost 11, and we have two more. And her eyes got big. The woman, through her presence in my life, and we had reminisced about being in ministry together years ago, and then where I am now. The woman, through her presence in my life, her gifts of prayer and service and humility, they helped me to strip off impatience and selfishness and pride. In her quiet and deliberate way, she grew me closer to Jesus. After I spoke to her, I sat back down in the chair and I continued eating and I just looked around the room. And the room was filled with such beautiful people and such the work of the Spirit was in that place. And then I thought to myself, yep, this is what the kingdom of God looks like. This is what it looks like when we walk with one another. This is what it looks like when we die to ourselves every day and clothe ourselves with Christ every day in communion with God and each other. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you so much that in a world filled with pain and anger and malice, you are still at work. I ask, Lord, that you would pour out your grace upon all of us and help us by your grace as a faith community to set, die, strip, clothe, and repeat every single day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.